I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome James Elliman. He is the founder of Elliman Technologies. They are both a MSP and an ISP. That means they make sure that your office is wired up and once inside the office that your systems are working. He's been working on computers since he was in the fifth grade. He started by installing antivirus for his neighbors. And in 2019, he launched Elliman Technologies with one goal in mind, and that is to simplify IT, and more importantly, to simplify IT for small businesses. James, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So there was something that you said that, of course, caught my ear, always does. You know, where are we? Just over a week ago, we were celebrating the Marine Corps' 250th birthday, and you were on the trajectory to be a Marine officer, if I understand right.
Yeah, I was. It was a great time. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, so what were you doing? Did you fill me in? What happened?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started in college. My great-grandfather and my dad were all Marine officers. And they're all artillery officers in the Marines, to be specific. And I decided in college that I wanted to do the same thing. And I wanted to go, shoot giant projectiles and stuff. That sounds like fun. Travel the world, hold all of that. And so I did. That was my plan and all along. And then when I was graduating college and shipping off to officer candidate school, well, I found out that a knee surgery I had a little while back had kind of come up in a second round of medical review. And they said, "Yep, you're no longer eligible." And so that's just kind of how I ended up starting Elliman Technologies. Is it? Original plans just kind of fell through.
Oh, I'm sorry. Now, were you doing, oh heck, I forgot the term for it, but were you doing Marine activities when you were in college, or was it just?
Yep. So the officer program in college is very similar to like ROTC.
Yeah.
For the Army, anywhere you get to spend your weekends doing training exercises is usually the officer program in Ohio where I was. This was nice because they at least gave you one weekend off, which was pleasant. I know a lot of the ROTC Army guys, they were every weekend they were off doing something. Like, I'm never getting anything done on the weekend. So I was like, "Oh, sucks to be an Army guy. I'll take the Marines."
Yeah. So now you went to college in Ohio. Did you grow up in Ohio?
No, I just went to college out there. I went to Ohio Wesleyan. The only reason I picked it is both my parents went there.
Oh, okay.
And I was in high school. I had no idea what I was going to do in my life. So, I knew I wanted to work on computers, but I didn't really know anything else. And I'll be honest, as a high school kid, I had no idea what the difference between all the colleges were. I read them all as the same. Like, "Oh, they have a computer science program. Cool. That's good enough for me." I was touring schools. And so, ended up settling on one that my parents were like, "Yeah, this is a great school. We went there." And I'm like, "Cool, that sounds good enough. Like, I don't know the difference."
So when you were in college and you were doing the weekends with the Marine Corps, was it local to the area or were you going somewhere else or what were you doing?
Oh, we traveled everywhere. We do like local land now of in national or the state parks and things, which I'm going to be honest, you'd scare a bunch of hikers. I was watching a bunch of Canada, it's wandering around with their compasses and camouflage in a state park, and you pop up on a trail and they're like, "Who are you? What are you doing?" And it really startles them. Or we went down to Tennessee once before we went to, I can't remember what base it was, but we actually got to go through a whole weekend training exercise, which was a lot of fun. It entailed like full camping and everything else. I ate MREs all weekend long, and that is an experience for a college kid for the first time. Eat MREs and camp in the cold and the rain, and it was like February. It was not a pleasant experience, but it was fun, and it was like, wow, this is what I'm gonna be doing. Okay, cool.
You know, those MREs have like an insane number of calories per meal.
Yeah, and sodium. Talk about how thirsty you are after them. That is, I was drinking water like it was going out of style.
Well, I'm sorry you didn't get to go to OCS.
It's fine. I've kind of found that I found my niche in the world where I'm supposed to be, and that's okay with me.
So obviously life was derailed. You're going through college, you're planning to be a Marine officer, and all of a sudden that's not happening. What do you do next?
Well, I moved back to South Shore, Massachusetts after I graduated and moved in with my grandmother to help her out around the house. And I had no idea what I was going to do at the time. And so I was helping out a friend of mine in the maritime industry, just kind of part-time, so I had some form of a paycheck to live for living expenses. And when I was sitting around, I would sit there and scroll Facebook, which was probably a really dumb idea at the time. I mean, it's now we still try to get people to off the doom scrolling. But I would sit there in the local Facebook groups, like the local community Facebook groups, and I'd see people that were like, "Hey, my printer doesn't work," or "My Wi-Fi doesn't work," and I'd sit there answering questions, or be like, "Hey, I can stop by and take a look." I will never forget this. Is my first invoice, I charged for $14 an hour because I had no idea what I was doing at the time. I did not know that as a consultant, you have to charge a different rate than the minimum wage I was making and doing helping out my friend part time. And so it was like, oh, okay. And as I've learned and grown, and now we're a much different organization than when I was. Is just scrolling Facebook answering any tech questions.
It's interesting. Anybody, I know that's the case for me starting the business. It's always hard trying to figure out how to price your services. And there's a part where you feel like, oh, I'm charging too much. Nobody will ever pay this. Did you have any of that?
When I did hourly break fix work, I had that mental crisis a lot of times. Like I'd sit there and I'd be like, "Okay, cool." When
And
I was
let me
finally,
just kind of pause for
yeah.
those that aren't familiar with the lingo. Break fix is somebody has a problem, you call them, you fix it. The contrast is what's the other model?
So, break fix, it's basically just hourly rates. So you call, I spend X amount of hours, or to fix something, I charge you for X amount of hours. There's the other model, is the managed service model, or where you pay 1 month flat monthly fee, and that fee is broken up in different ways. Some people just have a flat fee for the business, some charge per workstation, some charge per employee, and there's different pricing models inside of that MSP model. But at the end of the day, you pay a set price at the end of every month.
Okay. And so anyway, you were starting off with just break fix and how did you set your pricing?
Well, it started at $14 an hour and realized that was not going to work out for me long term because overhead of driving places and everything else is not like a you're working for someone else where you clock in and no matter what you're doing, you're getting paid. And so I started Googling and you're like, oh, hey, what does everyone else charge? And I noticed that some providers in the area had the same hour, or they had their hourly rates right on their website. And so I worked off of that at the time. I was like, cool, I see that these three other companies all charge $75 an hour. That's what I'll charge. And so I did that, but I always had this mental crisis whenever I was at a place, a client's, and like, oh, this is gonna take me a really long time to fix. Like, if you remember, I remember back in like early, like late, early, probably early 2020-ish, as we were slowly transitioning into the MSP market, I was working on a RAID controller, and it was a RAID control, and it was a pretty large amount of data, and it was gonna take probably about 40 hours to fix to repair it, according to the documentation that the manufacturer had sent me. And I'm like, I don't think this client's gonna want to chart to pay for 40 hours worth of my labor to fix this. And I would always have like that crisis in my head, like, uh-oh. This is not like an hour or two project. I don't think they understand the bill that's coming towards them. And I was scared. I was always scared that they were never going to pay sometimes,
Yeah.
especially early on.
Huh. Well, and what happened? So you go in, did you charge them for the 40 hours and
I did, and they were reluctant, but they understood. I basically sat down and I said to them, hey, this is what the documentation says. I followed it to a T. Everything's working. And they're like, okay, cool. They put up a little bit of a fight about have a full 40 hours, but that was the best paycheck I ever got at that time in my life.
wow. Well, and then you switched to the MSP model.
Yeah.
What brought about that change?
It was mostly that I was mostly by myself at that point, and I didn't really have a whole lot of help. Oh, really, none at all. I had one person part-time, but I was managing all these different softwares, and I had no idea what everyone was on. Like, it wasn't standardized. Like, we had some people on Webroot Antivirus, we had others on SentinelOne, we had other ones on Sophos, and I couldn't keep track of it. I had no idea what was going on. So I'd say, oh, I think I have a virus. Cool. I have to go log into this web portal and figure out how to use this web portal. Well, or figure out how to use this email software. We've had clients on probably seven different email softwares, server softwares. And so I was learning all these different tools. And I was like, this is overwhelming. This is really overwhelming. And so when we switched to the MSP model, we included all of the software with it. So if you buy our workstation package, you get Huntress, you get SentinelOne, and you get Wuzza, you get Zabbix, you get everything. And it's Auto Elevate, ThreatLocker, or all those tools that I would have to as a break fix. So, hey, I want to sell you this for $2 an endpoint. I want to sell you that for $2 an endpoint. Oh, this person just bought this for all their workstations, and so went from having like 15,000 passwords to for different login portals to a dozen. And so it made support a lot faster too.
Yeah. What should people expect when they're reaching out to an MSP? What are the questions they should ask? What are some of the things they should consider when bringing an MSP into their business?
The first one is definitely the pricing model. That is something that I think confuses a lot of people. Well, especially at least when I sit down in our sales process, it's usually a very big, it's the most confusing aspect. I can tell you that I'm going to provide all these cybersecurity services. I can tell you I'm going to handle all this tech support. But at the end of the day, there's such a drastic difference in how the pricing models work. In MSPs, you have of our hybrid model where we split up the billing process into users and devices, is to be a little more flexible to different businesses, as you have other businesses that will charge you for every employee you have in your payroll system. So you're paying for the janitor that may never touch a computer, or you'll find other companies that charge per workstation, and that but they put your credit card down for all the licensing and directly with the vendors. And so understanding that the pricing model is huge. That is the number one thing that I think a lot of businesses and business owners and business or office managers, whoever's talking to the MSP, they really struggle with, because it's not like going to like a marketing agency where they say, okay, yeah, we do all this, it's all in one package, because it's they don't have to worry about licensing for users or workstations. It's, hey, we're going to provide marketing for your Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And so that's a it's simple. It's how many social media platforms can you have? Probably five max. And you include X or Twitter or whatever it's called now. Like a lot of those, or bookkeeping, where they just say, hey, this is we charge this per hour. Like a lot of those other services, to my understanding, the pricing models are very simplified. The MSP market, there's so many different options.
What do you recommend? I mean, if let's say you were your own customer, what would you sign up for?
I really like our hybrid model. We broke it down because as you'll have biz you'll have every business is different, and to go with a model that's like priced per employee or priced based by workstation. Well, what if you have one employee that has two laptops, or you have one laptop, or like you have a reception desk that is split up and has you have five part-time receptionists that kind of rotate through. Well, you don't want to be overpaying in any one of those formats. So we split that cost of where you'll see a lot of MSPs in our area, at least, they charge about $150 per workstation or per user, per employee, as they say. So we split it down the middle and said, okay, cool. Well, $75 for the workstation, $75 for the employee. And then, so as you scale, you can say, okay, cool. Well, we're adding another employee, but we're not adding another workstation. So we made it flexible in that regard.
Okay. Cool. It's so here's something just kind of in recent news. Cloudflare went down, and I sort of know what Cloudflare is, but I know the impact was it took down Twitter, it took down Canva, which is a thing I use. It took down ChatGPT. I mean, it just took down a lot. And when it first happened, I was trying to log on to Canva to make a graphic for my LinkedIn post for the day, and I just couldn't get in. And it started telling me, "Oh, you need to go in and do this, this, and this." And I initially started looking to try to do it, and it said that I blocked something, with Cloudflare, and then I thought. And I'd also noticed that ChatGPT had gone down. I was like, I wonder if there's a central issue here. But I would imagine that I'm a little bit of an unusual user that most people would, say, oh my goodness, my computer just broke, and what do I do? Did you have much of that happening? What kind of service calls did you get that day?
Not as many as you would think. We have a lot of our clients, we do a lot of work with professional services, and a lot of them have Active Directory systems that have built-in DNS so that it makes copies of the Cloudflare records. So we didn't have a lot of that. We definitely had some, but not as much as a lot of them. Trying to keep this high level. Cloudflare has two different end settings for DNS. They have straight DNS, and then they proxy DNS. So all of those straight eight DNS records, Active Directory kind of picked up and with its DNS replication services handled that really well. The proxied ones were where things really went downhill. We got a lot of calls for things like ChatGPT. They use proxy DNS records, and so we got a lot of calls like, "Hey, this website just doesn't work." Yeah, it's a larger issue. Oh, and I think coming from that, I mean, in the last 3 weeks, or 3 weeks or so, we've had Amazon go down. We've had Azure go down. Now we have had Cloudflare go down. The big three tech giants, it's that kind of really monopolized the internet in a lot of ways. Is so it's interesting to see, okay, cool, where's the internet going next?
Well, James, this has been interesting. If somebody needs some help with MSP, with their IT system, how do they reach you?
The best way is right through the website, Element Technology, elementtech.com. And there's booking links right on there. You can send us an email through there, or just give our office number a call. We answer it 24/7, 365 days a year.
Okay, excellent. What is that number?
It's 508-503-6763.
Excellent. Well, James, thanks for coming on Layers and Legacies.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest and sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.